Thank you. You may be seated. And at this time, all of the children up to sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church with Miss Steph and with Abby. And for all the parents and grandparents, at the conclusion of the service, pick your children up down in the fellowship hall. So that is the location for pickup and will be. Be opportunity if you want to hang out outside with other families or with other kids, the kids after. They can do that in the backyard of the parsonage after pickup, but pick up following the service down in the fellowship hall. Invite you to open a Bible if you have one with you or on a phone. Feel free to open that up or tablet if you have that with you to the book of Mark, to Mark chapter 16. If you look in the New Testament, Matthew, then Mark, second book, Mark chapter 16. It's Mark's resurrection account of Jesus being raised from the dead. I invite you to follow along. We're going to look at the first eight verses of Mark chapter 16, and we're going to talk about the subject, who will roll the stone away? Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. If you've been around Dorseyville for a number of years, you would remember, and if you're newer, this may be new news to you, but back in the fall of 2018 here at the church, we experienced two flooding events in the church building. And after cleanup each time, we began to set about the process of fixing what caused the flooding. And so it seemed simple enough because we thought, right as we began to look into it and get some people to look at it, that there was a drain that was clogged. And if we fixed that, we would be in good shape. Well, we fixed that. And in the course of fixing that, found out that there was also some leaking in the foundation. So we had to do some work on the foundation and install internal drains to be able to deal with the issue of flooding from happening again. In the midst of that, we found out that the carpeting needed to be replaced because of all the water on it. And so we had that all pulled up, and in the midst of that found out that there would have been mold all throughout the basement of the building. So we had to get negative air pressure and a company that came in and dealt specifically with mold to deal with the mold problem. So we have the carpet up. Now it's time to put carpet down. The carpet companies come and they say, "Oh no, the tile that was under it has asbestos in it." So we had to be able to have a special way to be able to get the asbestos cared for as the tile was put up before the carpeting was put down. And then once all that was completed, we needed to make sure that we had a little bit of outside drainage. We thought we needed one drain. In the midst of it, we found out we needed not one drain, not two drains, but three drains. And if you were going to do that, you had to put also drainage in the backyard of the parsonage. Man, what began as simply, let's unclog the drain that caused the backup, turned into this and this and this and this and this. Once we got into the job, we realized just how many unexpected obstacles, one after another, continued to pop up. I think of that because I think of the women who were in the midst of doing what was right, living faithfully, and in the midst of living faithfully, there were unexpected obstacles. You know, sometimes we think if we just do the right thing, then everything's going to work out perfectly, right? That's been everybody's experience, right? You do the right thing and everything works out. No. In the midst of living faithfully in life in general and with God, we find that faithful living will many times bring unexpected obstacles. Faithful living oftentimes brings unexpected obstacles. This is what happened to the women. Here they are in verses 1 through 3 when it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. These three women were faithful already. If you read in chapter 15 of the account of the crucifixion in Mark's gospel, you will find that these three women specifically were at the cross when Jesus died. And it says that these three women were from Jesus' hometown area of Galilee, and they were the ones who would follow him, and they were the ones who cared for all of his needs. These women were faithful women from the beginning. They lived faithfully, and so it is no surprise that these three women continued to live faithfully, even in the midst of the darkness. As Leah shared, and all those, majority of those songs have this darkness piece at the beginning. They are living through tremendous darkness. The one that they believed was their Messiah, their rabbi, who had they had given 3 years of their lives. They had sacrificed. They had loved so much. They had watched him die a horrific death. And in the midst of it, they still are faithful. Faithful doing what was required, because at death, the Jewish custom was that the body would be washed, and if the person was very important, they would also have spices that they would cover the body in to slow the decay process. And so we see how important Jesus was to these women, that they not only were going to take care of the body, but they were getting spices. Normally, this would have been done immediately. At death, it would have been done, washed. If they were going to anoint the body with spices, it would have been done immediately, would have wrapped the body, would have put the body in a tomb and sealed the tomb. But when Jesus died, it was just as sun was going down for the Sabbath, and there was law, Jewish law, not to touch a dead body on the Sabbath. So they had to wait. And so here they are at their first chance. The Sabbath was now over, and these three women, faithfully on their way to do what needed to be done. They were already up early because they had to buy the spices. And now here they are. It's just about sunrise, and they're on their way to the tomb. Spices bought, on their way to do what was faithful. And in the midst of it, in the midst of their faithful living, it dawns on them. They ask each other, verse 3, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? The stone would have been dish-shaped. It would have then been rolled into a groove that would have fit and sealed the tomb tightly. It would have taken several strong men to be able to roll this stone, not just into place, but to roll this stone away. Add to the fact that they would have known that there were Roman guards who had been placed there to guard that tomb. Add to that that it had been sealed. And when something had been sealed, if you unsealed it and you didn't have the authority to do it, it was punishable by death. And so here they are. They're in the midst of their grief. They're in the midst of their disappointment. They're on their way to the tomb. And all of a sudden, in the midst of faithful living, it dawns on them, uh-oh, who's going to roll away the stone? You ever had those experiences? You ever had an experience kind of like we did here with the flooding repair, where you get into it, and all of a sudden you get to an obstacle that wasn't expected, and you go, uh-oh, I wasn't expecting that. And maybe a little down the road, you get into it a little bit farther, whether it's a new project or a new endeavor, or it's just following Jesus in general, and you get to something and you go, uh-oh, I wasn't expecting that. These women, in the midst of faithful living, had one of those uh-oh moments. One of those moments that brought unexpected obstacle. It's interesting to note, who is faithful here? And who is absent? You have three women who are faithfully about their lives, faithfully doing what was required. And you have 11 guys who are somewhere in an upper room with the door locked, in fear, hiding for their lives, afraid that what has just happened to their rabbi, to their Lord, that they're next. Faithful living, demonstrated by these women, shows us that it often brings unexpected obstacles to us. But here's the good news. When we're following Jesus and faithful living brings those unexpected obstacles, faithful living also brings unexpected miracles. Faithful living also brings unexpected miracles. Verses 4 through 6, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Imagine, in the midst of this realization, oh no, they get to the tomb and the stone that was their obstacle has been rolled away. That's a pretty good unexpected miracle. But there's a much greater and a much more unexpected miracle. See, God didn't just stop at the stone being rolled away. That was just the beginning. As verse 5 tells us, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. I wonder if there's a word to really be able to capture what they felt. Somehow I think alarmed was probably not going to be able to capture all of that. Because here they are, they're in the midst of living faithfully. They have this obstacle that's unexpected. They arrive and the stone is rolled away. And they enter, and instead of finding Jesus' body, they find a young man dressed in white. Now the other gospels help us to understand that this was not just the neighbor down the street. This wasn't just a boy who was walking around and saw an empty tomb and thought he'd go and explore and see what was going on. This was an angel, a messenger from God, who gave them an unexpected, even though Jesus had told them this, an unexpected message. And that was this. Don't be alarmed, verse 6. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they've laid him. You can imagine that would alarm you to see an angel and then to get this message. And so this angel counters the alarm, their confusion, their alarm, and says, don't be alarmed. Jesus, the one who is from Nazareth, the one you've been with, he is not here. He is risen. Come and see. Faithful living will bring you those unexpected obstacles, but faithful living will also bring you unexpected miracles. Oftentimes, the miracle that we think we need is often just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg of what God sees as the miracle that you need. And oftentimes, the miracle that we need is something that is much deeper than just the fixing of our circumstances. I shared about all those repairs that needed to be as one obstacle after another, after another, after another came up. There were moments where it's like, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? How do we fix this situation? There were moments I just wanted to throw my hands up in the air and give up. And then God would lead you to somebody who knew what needed to be done, fixing the obstacle. But I found during that time that that really was just the tip of the iceberg miracle, because God had something much bigger in store for us as a church family, and that was that he had a message for us in the midst of it, a miracle of the heart, a miracle of our lives and of our church family, and that was that there were foundations that he wanted to rebuild in our church family's spiritual walk with Christ. And through all of that, he did a deeper miracle. He changed us. He drew us to him in a way that we had not been before that. A way that didn't just fix a problem. It changed us and transformed us into deeper relationship, deeper trust with God. Friends, a lot of times we come to God in the midst of these unexpected obstacles and we think, this is what I need God to fix. And he's like, yeah, you need that to be fixed. But there's something bigger that you don't understand yet. There's something deeper that I want to do in your life. There's a greater miracle that I want to perform for those women. Who was going to roll away the stone? That was just the tip of the iceberg of what God wanted to do. Faithful living will bring unexpected obstacles, but it will also bring amazing, unexpected opportunities for God to do the miraculous in us and through us. How? God already did this, but he was inviting the women into something. He was inviting them to be changed and to participate. How do we participate? Well, faith is the key to faithful living. Faith is the key to faithful living. Verses 6 and 7 again says, don't be alarmed. He said, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. See, the key to faithful living, as would be demonstrated by the women and by this angel in his message, is this. The key is faith. The women, in order to access and to see further what God had done, was to place their faith in two things in this story, in this account. The first they had to place their faith in was the message. The angel says this. He says, he is risen. He is not here. There's a message. He's risen. The verbal. This is what you need to know. He is risen. He isn't here. They had to place their faith and they had to believe the word that was spoken to them. But they also had to do something else. He said, come and, what's he say? Come and see where he was laid. Past tense. Not where he is laid or where he maybe one day would be laid, where he was laid. Come and see. He's risen. He is not here. Come and see. Come and see with your eyes what God has done. The evidence from the message. Come hear the word, the good news. He is risen. The crazy news. He is risen. He is not here. And come see. See the place where he laid. But all of this had to be combined with something. Had to be combined with action. Because the angel says in verse 7, but go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he had told you. All of this, hearing the message, seeing the place where he had been laid, all of it had to be combined with action. See, sometimes faith, we think of it as just this logic, this intellect thing, this something that we believe. It's a message that we believe. It's something that maybe we can spout off. It's something that we can recount. But it's more than that. Faith cannot just be something that we know about. Faith has to be something that we act upon. There has to be action given to what we are believing. Now, if eventually when I'm done with this message, I'm going to need to come back down there. And I can jump off, which I think that has all kinds of ways that could go badly, so I'm not going to do that. But what I could do, and what is the way that it has been designed, is to do what? To step down twice. Once onto the step, the other onto the ground. Now, I can stand here all day and say, I need to get there. And I believe with everything in my heart that that step, when I step down, will hold me. It won't collapse. And then when I step down on that floor, that there's not going to be a giant hole under that, and I'm going to collapse down again. I can believe all day in my heart. I can believe it in my head. I can have intellect. I could spend the rest of this message. I could keep you from Easter dinner today, telling you all the reasons why this step will hold me and that floor will hold me when I take those steps. But is that going to do me any good? Is that going to do you any good? You're never going to get to Easter dinner. There has to be action. There has to be a step taken to put action, to put my faith into practice. I have to believe it, but then I have to act upon it. And I have to act upon it in order for that faith, that belief, to do anything of substance. Friends, it's the same way in our walk with God. It's the same way in our faith before him. We can't just say, yeah, I believe he is risen. We can yell all day long in response to he is risen. You could yell all day long, he is risen indeed. You could say it all day long. But if it doesn't change, if you don't act on it in faith, if you don't pursue the one who is alive, it will just be another thing that you know about. See, Jesus desires an encounter with you that will change you and transform you. And we'll take the craziest news ever and we'll turn your life crazily upside down in a good way. But unless you act on it, it will not change you. There's some of you who may be here or may be listening who hear about Jesus, and maybe Easter is the time that you say, yeah, I'll come, and Jesus is something that you know about. Maybe you grew up with him. Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe somebody invited you to come to a service or has sent you a link on Facebook of a service or a message, and you know about Jesus. But there has to be active step taken to say, Jesus, I turn from myself. I acknowledge my sin before you. I turn from my own ability to try to make myself right with you. I trust and believe that you love me, that you died for me, and that you are the risen Savior and Lord, and I give my life to you. I place my faith, not just in my head, but I take a step and I put all of my weight upon you, Jesus, for this life and for the life to come. It's called saving faith. That's all salvation. That's what brings us and forgives us of our sin and makes us a new person and sends our destiny from hell to heaven. So some of you, it may be that today, the step of faith, the action step, the key to faithful living may be to place all of your faith actively in Christ for the first time. Others of you, as we had that video for a while at the beginning of the service, saying a lot has changed since last Easter, and indeed it has. A lot has changed. There's been so much pain, there's been so much loss, there's been so much hopelessness. There's been so much tension politically, racially. There's been so much loneliness. There's been so much isolation. There's been so much in the ways that people have tried to medicate that or escape it in general. There's been so much death. There's been so much suffering. Despair and depression, they're rampant and harmful in ways as people have turned to so many things to try to deal with it. But one thing has not changed, as that video said, and that is that Jesus is still risen. Jesus is still risen. So this morning, I don't know what your situation is, but take what you're hearing and seeing and put it into practice. I suggest three quick ways to do that, and then we'll come to one last point in the message. You know, this Bible, these words that are written here have been penned by God through human beings. God has preserved this, and he longs to speak and talk to you through this. It's not just a book that you can get at the library. These are the very words of God. And he wants to meet you through them. He wants to speak to you. He wants to feed your soul through these. And so may I encourage you to take a step of faith if you haven't been regularly and just saying, Lord, I believe that this is your word, and I believe that if I'm a believer in Jesus, that your spirit lives in me and your spirit will speak to me through these words. And so my step of faith that I'm going to put down, if I haven't been doing this regularly, is to open these words and say, Lord Jesus, would you, by your spirit, would you teach me and would you feed my soul? Another step of faith you may take, second one, is, may sound simple, but prayer, and that's talking to God. The Bible says that the Lord meets those who believe that he exists. Though they can't see him, who believe that they exist. And by taking a step of faith and just saying, Lord, I may not be the greatest prayer in the world. It's not about how great of a prayer you are. It's about, are you spending time talking to him? Share your heart, share your burden, share your concerns. Tell him how great he is. Maybe if you're reading the Bible, there's something that tells how great. Say, God, I says that, so I'm going to tell you you're great. Not because he needs to know it, but it's a way that we align ourselves with him. And then even believe. Give yourself a few moments and say, Lord, I believe that not only in prayer do you want to hear from me, but you want to speak to me. And is there anything that you want to say? Take a moment, some time to pray, believing that the God of the universe wants to hear from you and wants to have a relationship with you. And a third way to take a step of faith, I would encourage you. You know, those women, it wasn't Mary Magdalene who went. Or it wasn't Salome who went. It was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They went together. One of the greatest ways that God wants to work and an act of faith is to be with other believers. Sunday morning is great, and I'm glad that every single one of you are here. But let me encourage you to find another believer or two or three and to get life to life, to begin to share, to pray for each other, to pray with each other, to encourage each other, because we were not meant, and I believe it's very, very difficult to live a life with Jesus on our own. We need other people who can encourage us and who we can encourage. We were not meant to be alone. And so a step of faith for you in faithful living may be, I need to find some people. We have some Bible studies. We have other ways. And if you're saying, I need to get connected with some people, can you help me? I'd love to get you connected with some people who love Jesus and are following after him. So three ways to encourage you. In the midst of all that's going on, in addition to saying, if you haven't already, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I believe that you are the risen one. To put faith to action. Some of you, as we close, may be saying this. Well, I would love to put faith to action, but I'm not very good at it. I don't think I have very much faith. And here's the good news. That faithful living doesn't need perfect faith. Faithful living doesn't need perfect faith. How do I know that? Well, verses 7 and 8 says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Who were the guys that were doing so well? Not those guys. Not the disciples, they were in a room somewhere. They weren't living very faithfully. They were allowing fear to have their way with them. Even though Jesus had said, don't worry, this is necessary, I will rise again. They still hadn't gotten it yet. Their faith wasn't very high. And then there's Peter, the one who said, Jesus, no matter what, I will never, ever, 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 ever. And like if somebody could qualify enough evers and be the world champion of I will never, ever, Peter was it. I will never, ever, ever, ever deny you. And just a matter of hours later, when asked by a little servant girl, hey, you have been with Jesus, you're one of them. Nope, never seen him. Second time, surely you've been with him. You talk like him. Nope, never seen the guy in my life. Third time, I think I've seen you with him. Nope. And just as Jesus had told him would happen, the rooster crowed. And Peter wept. Because he realized the one that he loved so much, he had just denied three times. it's important that Mark puts there. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Because he's the one who's going to need to know the most. Because he's the one who's carrying the deepest burden. He's the one who feels like he has failed the most. Go tell him too. Go tell those 10. And make sure you tell Peter. And then these women who have done so well, yet in the midst of this, that just, it's blown their doors off. They don't know how to process all of this. Trembling and bewildered, it says in verse 8, the women went out and fled the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Eventually, the disciples see Jesus. Peter sees Jesus. The women, from other gospel accounts we know, eventually told them what had happened, even in the midst of their initial fear and failure. Here's the good news, and I am so encouraged by this for myself, that faithful living doesn't need perfect faith. Because it's not about how much faith or how perfect your faith is. Jesus said if you had just a faith the size of a little itty-bitty mustard seed, you can do amazing things. Because it's not about how much faith or how perfect your faith is, it's about who your faith is in. And when your faith is in the one who has overcome sin and Satan and the grave, boy, there's amazing things that are going to happen and can happen when your faith is in him. It's not about how much you have or how perfect your faith is. It's about who your faith is in. Jesus, the risen Savior. Amen? So all of us, I believe, maybe you're in a season where this isn't you, but most likely it will be. All of us have stones that need to be rolled away. Those unexpected obstacles, or they're in your face right now. You're seeking to live faithfully to God, with God. You're seeking to walk with Jesus, and there are those obstacles that are in your way. Can I encourage you? Don't allow yourself to get stuck hiding in fear somewhere. Don't allow yourself to pull back in inaction. Rather, take a step of faith today. A faith that is placed in Jesus actively. And we're just going to take a moment and say, Lord Jesus, what is that step for each of us? I don't know what your step is. I only know what the Lord is speaking to me as my step. But I believe that the God who speaks to me about what my step is the same God who longs to speak to each and every one of us about what that step is for you to take, to put your faith into action. Faith is the key. Not perfect faith, but even just the smallest amount. Say, Jesus, here I am. Here's the most I've got, but I'm going to put it in you, and I'm going to take a step, believing that you, the one who is resurrected, and you, the God who is the God of resurrection, will meet me there. I may encourage you, if you don't see it in a moment, don't give up. Oftentimes, the ways of God are slow. The more you read the Bible, the more you see that things don't happen in an instant. On a page, you may flip it and it looks like it's in an instant, but a lot of times it's years and years and years. Would you be faithful? Just say, Lord Jesus, here I am. The God of resurrection, I trust you. I'm going to take the step. Believing that faith is the key. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are the God of resurrection. And Jesus, I thank you and we praise you as the resurrected one. You, the one who is resurrected, is the one who is resurrecting us, bringing us into greater life in you. And so, Holy Spirit, you're present with us. I thank you for that. Would you whisper? Would you bring thoughts? Would you bring words or pictures, however you would choose, just to speak? What is that step? Maybe it's something that's been said or something that would be unique and special to each one of us. Spirit of the living God, in a moment of silence, would you be free to do that? Father, I bless your people. I bless each one here today with hope and courage in the midst of the unexpected obstacles, in the midst of even the obstacle that is facing them even right now, with the hope that you, the God of miracles, that you are able. So may you encourage and pour out fresh faith to be demonstrated and exhibited and placed in Jesus, the one who is the resurrected one. Our hope is in you, Lord Jesus. Our faith is in you. We trust you to do what we cannot, but what you are more than able to do. We love you. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning when I woke up, I put a bracelet on that I haven't worn in maybe probably over a year now. I don't know what, I guess God prompted me to put it on, but there's a little mustard seed inside of it. And I just, in case there's somebody out there who just needs to see, you know, that's all it takes is, like, you can see this little charm. It's not the charm, it's inside of there. Just this tiny little piece of faith. And if you have that, that is all that it takes. So if I can encourage you, whoever needs to hear this, whether it's here or at home, if you have that tiny piece of faith, just take the step and maybe just speak to somebody. Because those women, they didn't go alone. You know, if Salome had just gone by herself, she might have started walking and then said, oh, I'm not sure about this, turn around and went back. But they had each other, right, to keep going forward. So if that's you, just take that step and gather some people around you, and God will be faithful.